Amen and amen. Thank you again so much for being here. We'll look into the Word of God tonight, and we'll continue our Bible study through the book of James, and we're looking at James chapter 1, verse number 22, and we'll begin there, and trust will be a blessing to you, and we'll hear at just the end of the service. We've got a missionary that slipped in with us, and we'll have him, Brother Dan, come up and pray for us at the end, if you will remind me of that. Well, we're looking at James chapter 1, verse number 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, I want to preach for just a little while about this hearer and doer. And I know that we all think we know where this is going, and by and large we do. We get the gist of it just by reading through. But I do want to show you a point or two that I think that as I was getting ready for it, it really dawned on me. And I trust it'll be a time of enlightenment for you as well, just to think about some folks that maybe stay in churches for a while that they should not. So let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you for this time. Bless us in this moment that we've got here. We'll never get it back. And I pray that you would bless this message, this lesson to our hearts, and we'll trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, they say there's a saying for cars that look great but don't run so good. And they look like they'd be really fast, but they're not. And that saying would be all show and no go. I mean, they look like they'd be wonderful. I don't know if you remember, but sometimes used to be, and sometimes people still do those little pocket squares, you know, that match your tie a little bit and looks like you stuff it down in there. My nephew used to have a saying for that. He said those were for show and not for blow, because you weren't supposed to get those out and blow on them. You know, they were for just showing. Well, that's the type of Christian that we're getting down to in this passage. Those people that are for show, they've got some things that they are liking the way it looks, but they're not really getting down to the obedience unto the Word of God. Because remember this, God doesn't put His Word out there just to, well, it does comfort you, but that's not all it does. He doesn't put it out there to be fluff in your life. He doesn't put it out there so you can tell other people about what it says. Although He does do that, that's not its only purpose. The Word sinks into you, and then is the only time you're the best way of giving it out. FBN, as Brother Roebuck came up and said, the reason they want to get out is to get the Word of God into people's hearts. They don't not only want to show it, but they want to let people absorb it into their lives. So I'm looking at this as we get started tonight, and we see that but be doers of the word, that's what God's interested in, not those people that know it or hear it, but doers. So we're going to start in verse number 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So I look at it first. If you're filling out the blanks of the sheet that you got, we can be deceived. We can be fooled. We can have the wool pulled over our eyes. We can be taken in by, here's the end of the phrase, deceiving your own selves. And this is what the revelation that came to me as I was thinking about this. How can someone stay in a church, a friend of yours, maybe a neighbor of yours, a relative of yours, and maybe you go visit with them on Christmas or somewhere else, and you hear some things in that church, and there you know that it's totally contrary to the Word of God. How do they stay in there? Because maybe you know them well, you know they're saved. How do you stay in there? Well, I believe they deceive their own selves. They're hearing sometimes what they want to hear. They're taking it and applying it the way they want. So, well, there's a few things, but we just let those slide. Because what the Bible says, it's not that you're deceived by somebody else, but that you're deceiving your own self. So we've got a deceived hearer. There's a condition that we can get in to where I'm fooling myself. How many of you know people that, I know people that they've not necessarily talking about spiritual things, but you know people, they've convinced themselves of some things that weren't true. Sure, we all do. And you from the outside, you look at it and say, It's as plain as the nose on my face. But they have bought into that they bought into that narrative that they're trying to sell and trying to sell themselves. And we see that that not only happens in other areas of life, but also happens in our relation to the Word of God. So we see that we can deceive ourselves, but we can also, as it goes on to say in verse number 23, we can be these forgetful hearers. We know the story of walking away from the mirror, just like it says here in verse number 23, and for if a hearer the word, not a doer, he's like a man. Or he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or that means a mirror that you come and you look and you look and you look, and then you say, well, you move away and you don't do anything. Now, we've all seen some people say, boy, it must be that they didn't look in the mirror because they would have fixed something about that. Now, remember that sometimes you just got to do what you can with what you got. Maybe they did the best they could. But we understand that story. We know that the story of walking away from a mirror without doing anything to fix. But the Bible talks about these people being the forgetful hearers. Now, I know, ladies, you're thinking this. I know a forgetful hearer. You married ladies. You're thinking that the Word of God's talking about your husband when you send him to Food City. I need this. And you give him three short things, one short list of three things on there. And how many of you know he may come back with six things, but none of the three things that were on your initial list? That's not a forgetful hearer that the Bible is talking about. That is a forgetful hearer, but those are your words, not God's words. And you say, I know, but I wish he'd listen to God's words and my words. Well, that's another sermon. We're not getting onto that tonight. We understand that the Bible talks about these forgetful hearers. So whether we're a deceived hearer or one that we're just forgetting, maybe because of the busy times in which we live, we're forgetting to pay attention to the Word of God. Take heed unto, the Bible says in another passage. But we can be deceived. And then we look on down in verse number, that was in verse number 23 and 24, forgetting what manner of man he was. But we see in verse number 25 that if we're a doer, then this brings the blessings of the Lord. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, as we just talked about, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now there is this teaching that's out that you can't do anything in your Christian life to bring more blessings upon you because God's already blessed you as much as he's going to bless you. There's partly right about that and partly wrong. God's blessed us beyond all we can imagine. You're walking. If you're not walking, and you're even if you're wheelchair bound or something, God's still blessing you, and you've got all these blessings. But there is this aspect, as it's given here in the Word of God, that we live a certain way, and then that invites blessings on our lives. You like the Bible? If you want to give the plain scripture truth, the Bible says the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. I heard about this fella. He said, "Well, I'm going to try that out," and he took his brother and he hit him in the nose. He says, "Well, the Bible is true." Well, you got to remember, you better be bigger than your brother if you're going to do that, because he may come back and draw blood again to you. But the Bible is true, and here it says that when we live this way, in the way that we obey the Word of God, it is as if we're sending invitations, the blessings, to say, come my way. Now, we're all blessed. God's long-suffering, he gives us so much. But the Bible says we're doing this, being a doer of his Word. It's as if we're bringing these blessings and God is shining on us. I love what the Word of God says here in this verse. So would you look again at verse number 25? And I want you to see if you're living this verse. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and the next phrase, and continueth therein. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Or even if you go past that, sometimes when we get saved, we didn't really grow very much because we were just, unfortunately, maybe stayed a baby Christian for a while. But maybe you got serious some year or two or three after you got saved. Many of us, we just dilly-dallied around there for a while and didn't really get into the Word of God. God was in us, but we weren't really seeking him. But then you finally got the switch turned on and you said, "Boy, I'm really going to seek the Lord now." But however long it's been since then, you are needed, or it's needed in your life for you to be a continuing hearer. Let me drive home what I mean by that. I'll just pick somebody. I don't know. David Airwood, how long you been saved? 28 years. See, we didn't even think you were that old. We thought you got saved at a young age. And Brother David, I know I didn't ask him before this, but you're still trying to read the Word of God and hear things that you can do today and tomorrow and this week, correct? So 28 years is not enough to say, I don't have to continue any longer. Brother Paul, how long you been saved? 59 years. You still going to look into the Word of God this week, try to find some things that God needs to, or God isn't done with you, is he? He's still working on you. Boy, Brother Paul's got a lot of rough edges to work, knock off. Some people, you understand, God's got a lot more to do on, you know? But he is trying. I know both of these men, they are trying to be what the Bible says in verse number 25. They're trying to be those continuers, continuing therein. And so it's amazing. Brother Roebuck, how long you been saved? 47? Well, you got started early, didn't you? Yeah. You're still trying to get in the Word of God, though, and let it continue in your life. And so what I'm trying to say to all of us is, doesn't matter whether you've been saved a few months, a few years, or decades, what the Word of God says is, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, doesn't give an exclusion. There is no sinless perfection level that you get to. There is no plateau. You say, well, I'm going to quit here. Well, Leroy, I would have asked you, but everybody knows you need to get into the Word of God, right? You still work? Is God still working on you?
You better believe.
And continueth therein. I just was arrested by that word as I was looking over this. And I wanted to ask the question when I got to this part. I got it in my notes. Are you that continuer? And only you can answer that for you. I'm asking, when's the last time that you read something in the Word of God and the Lord just kind of squeezed you? He said, wow, that's me. Or maybe in a church service too, not because I was preaching, but just somebody. Maybe he's listening online. Somebody told me the other day they were listening to some good sermons online from somebody. I don't remember. It didn't matter who it was, as long as the Bible preaching. When was the last time that you were listening to that? I said, boy, oh boy, that got all over me. And there's something I need to change. Let's not get into the place where just because you all cleaned up, you got over, you make sure you dressed up for church and you got here and you got all that and you don't do some of the things you used to do. Don't get to the place where you think that you're done. Because it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been walking with him, how long you've been hearing him. As far as when I was preparing this, thinking about this, dwelling on it, I love that word, continue therein. And I think that is the secret to this guy or girl that doesn't just look at the law and then walk away and not do anything about the law of liberty that he looked into. Because what the Bible says we're supposed to do is the hearer is supposed to become the doer. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. The Bible's to be obeyed. How many of your parents in here? Maybe they're out of the house. Maybe you don't claim them, but you know, your parents. Brother Paul, you've got kids. He's not raising his hand. What'd you give your kids an instruction for? To hear yourself vocalize some more thoughts? No. Sometimes you think that. I used to tell Amy, I said, don't tell them so much. Just keep the commands down, you know, we don't tell them to do things just so we can hear our own self talk, do we? We tell them those things because we want to instruct them. There's something they're doing, they need to quit. Or there's something they're not doing that they need to start. So you as mom or dad, you come alongside of and you say, we need to change that. And then if they're in the middle of something that they're going to get hurt, you do it with a lot more fervency. You know, you understand that. But you are instructing them. You're not instructing them so they would just ignore it. You're instructing them so you'll do it. So why would God as a Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father, be any different? So if we take His instructions, then we heed His instructions, we continue in there, or we complete those, and then we become a doer and not a hearer only. So we see that we're supposed to be a doer, and it brings those blessings, and I trust that that's the way we are living our lives. I'll give you the last one in verse number 26 and 27, this vain religion that it talks about. The Word of God kind of changes gears just a little bit here. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You've all heard this little statement. If you haven't, let me give it to you. Randy Merrill, a friend of ours that used to do Bible schools all the time, he would say it as he came in to the kids. He would say, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You with me? So meaning the way you walk talks, or it says something. The way that you talk talks, it says something. But your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. Meaning people are listening to what you say, but they're not listening to what you say near as much as they're watching what you do. You can tell that person, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. I go to this church. I go to there. I go faithfully. But then when they see you lingering around when some crude, immoral story is being told, your actions are speaking so loud they probably can't hear your words anymore. And if they're hearing you, the Bible talks about evil communications corrupt good manners. If they're hearing you speak in such a way that doesn't becometh a Christian, you say, well, how do they know what a Christian's supposed to act like? They know a whole lot more than you think they do. I'll tell you one thing, the unsaved world knows about what a Christian's supposed to be doing. They don't have all the ins and outs worked out, but they know about what a Christian's supposed to be talking like. And so what the Word of God says is, if somebody seems to be religious and they button up their suit coat and they come into church and they seem to be the holier-than-thou person, but they can't keep that tongue bridled, that man's religion is vain, or it's useless, it's not doing very much for him. Now, remember, we're friends in here. We all know what it's like to try to walk in the Spirit, but the flesh keeps beating us up. And so I give you more of a break, and you give me more of a break because you've been where I'm at. I feel you, brother. But you know who doesn't give us a break very often? The unsaved world. Because what they see is you've been preaching all this stuff, but now you won't live it. I come alongside and you say, listen, I've been where you're at. The flesh got the best of me many a time. Let's work on it. But the unsaved world that you work with, they don't have that same long suffering, because all they're hearing is you being the preacher boy, the church lady, you being the whoever, and saying all those things, and then they see you act totally contrary to the conception in their mind that they have of what a Christian's supposed to be, and it makes your life, it makes your testimony well nigh vain or useless. So we see this religious deception, that person that thinks they're such a spiritual giant, but really they're just an imposter to some degree. I passed the fellow the other day, and we were coming in this big office building. He looked religious. He had a long black robe on. He had his collar turned around backwards and had a little beanie cap on, and he was certainly, I'm not sure all that he was, but I know he was a reverend of some sort. So to the world, they would say, that is a religious person. And you may not dress that way, and I certainly don't dress that way, but everybody that you work with, if you work with them for very long, they know that you're some kind of religious person. And if any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Like I said, you can lie to yourself all along and just say, well, nobody can be perfect, and they can't. Deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. But then we see that in verse number 27, the hearing and the doing is what quantifies pure religion. It's amazing what God lists here in that verse as pure religion. Visit the helpless, the fatherless, the widows, the people who need that. And obviously everybody in those groups aren't in need, but it gives the umbrella to show you that the people that need stuff, those are the ones that we're supposed to be helping. I just wanted to share with you this evening that you and I are supposed to be hearers and doers of the Word. I wanted to share with you that one aspect of it that maybe you and I could give a break to some of those people. We say, how could they stay in that church, whatever that church is, maybe an undoctrinal church? I believe that as the Scripture says in verse number 22, they may be deceiving their own selves, thinking I can make a difference or I can do this. But regardless of what they do, I'm talking to us, that we be those hearers and doers. And can I leave you with this, the old adage, and it's not new to you, and I'm certainly not going to impress you with my knowledge, but you and I truly are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Would you be a good copy of it? Now, I understand that you falter and fail as I do. But I'm telling you, we're going to have to be those hearers and those doers because the world desperately needs to see some genuine Christians. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the chance to study into your Word a little bit. I pray, dear Lord, that you would let it sink into us. And I pray there's somebody here that would determine in their heart right now, dear Lord, that they're not going to be a hearer, but they're going to be a doer. And Lord, I pray that if we've already made those decisions, that we would hammer down on it, we'd re-enlist in that endeavor tonight to not be somebody who knows it, hears it, walks away from the mirror and not changing, but we're that hearer and that doer. And Lord, I pray that you'd settle that into our hearts. And I pray if there's somebody that's unsaved, dear Lord, that tonight I pray that they would realize their need for Jesus Christ alone as their Savior. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, in just a moment I'm going to have you stand, but here's the invitation. You're welcome to come down to the front and pray. But maybe you're that one that, boy, there's a lot of hearing going on. You know what you're supposed to do, but doing sometimes is a different story. Would you make this the night when you claim to, where you promise to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to be a doer, hearer, and a doer. And then if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I did not preach about that, but you've got something squeezing on the inside of you, showing you, telling you that you need to get your eternal destiny settled. And I challenge you, my friend, to not leave here without doing that, that you'd step out when we stand and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you be sure heaven's your home. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If you're able to stand together with us, if God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. That walk of yours speaks a lot louder than that talk of yours. Blessings and cursings can't come out of the same well. The altar's open for you. If you'd like to come, I invite you to. Thank you. You can look this way. I'm going to ask our brother, I forget your last name. I have it on a card, but I left it back this way. Why don't you come on up here, and if you're able to, if you just sit for just a second, folks, and I'm going to have him dismiss us in prayer, but then just take a minute or two and just introduce yourself and your wife to us, okay? Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here and just to introduce ourselves. My name is Ian Afrisio. I'm 23 years old. I have with me my wife. She's Amelia Afrisio. She's 21 years old, and we just got married last November, and we are missionaries to Baguio City, Philippines. Just a brief overview of what we do. My parents started Cornerstone Fundamental Baptist Church in Limay, Bataan. We've been there for 23 years, basically my whole life. And for the last 23 years, with God's help and with provisions that God given us, we were able to start and build 20 churches in the whole province of Bataan. And that wouldn't be possible without God and without His guidance. And 10 years ago, they also started Heartbeat Baptist Bible College, where we train future leaders and preachers. And my ministry before I surrendered my life to God was in the youth ministry. And through that ministry, God called me to be in Baguio City, Philippines. We're going to be going there January of next year, and we need your help and your prayers as we go there. My wife, she's born and raised in Texas. She hasn't been to Philippines yet. There's going to be a lot of adjustments, especially with language and especially food. Sometimes our foods are kind of, I don't want to get into it, but, just like open for discussion. But just want to thank the pastor for giving me the opportunity to be here. And let's bow our head, close our eyes, and go to God in word of prayer to close this service. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and serve you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word, the bringing of your word. Thank you for the study of James chapter 1, as we not only be a hearer of your word, Lord, but be also be a doer. And we just ask that you guide us and bless us as we go about our week. All these things we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask him to slip back to the lobby and grab his wife on the way, and maybe you'll get by and get to meet him and let him know you'll be praying for him. I'm going to ask Brother Roebuck, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table there, and you'll find some more information out about the FBN Network and the good work that they're doing. You check them out online and know better how to pray for them as they're trying to get the gospel across the airwaves, and we'll be a blessing. Our church has given something, Brother Burt's taking care of getting these two men, something that we can be a blessing as they leave on and go to their next preaching station or wherever God has for them. And so we don't want them to come in and not be a blessing to them. Don't forget to pray for Brother Nathan Susong, as a heavy night for him. If you usually text or communicate with him, shoot him a text and let him know that you're praying for him. And please don't forget to pray for Brother Paul Pritchard Jr., 10:30 in the morning. He'll be having that surgery on his heart, and keep him in prayer. And it's such a good joy to have Brother Myron and Miss Sandra Hoffert. They're right here by Carmen, and they are wonderful friends now for 25 years, I guess, or something. And so we're so blessed that they are here, and they serve at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, which Brother Dan and I both served at in Iowa, and wonderful, wonderful servants of the Lord. And I hope you'll get by and meet them as well. But thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.